The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show in hour two. This was a really nice surprise. I was broadcasting in the last hour, and I saw a man walk in with a little infant, little 11-month.
I don't know if 11 months counts as an infant, but...
little young guy, 11-month Matthew.
Sister.
Yeah, and his big sister Olivia, who has been here before. And their daddy, David Schweikert, congressman, welcome into the studio. What a fun surprise. And
you know, it's amazing. As soon as we went on the air, that's when the little boy decided he wanted to eat the microphone.
That's how I work, too. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. This is great. This is great. It really just moved me, that cheer, the cheer on his face.
Look, it's one of my great joys. You tolerate it. In my job, I'm gone so much that when you come home, and today was the last day of school for Olivia, so...
Wonderful.
We think she graduated first grade. At least the teacher said she probably did. So
the story of these
second
two,
grade goes.
The story of these two is just so incredible, folks. It's an incredible story. David, it's good. I'm really glad to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. And Olivia, it's wonderful to see you again, too, of course, dear. But you're kind of the man of the moment here. When you were last on about a week or so ago, a little over a week ago, the chatter was that they'd have a deal probably by that Friday. That is to say, a week ago today. You said you don't think so.
No.
You said no. And it's still no. Give us an update. Where are we?
My knowledge base is only a little bit more than you do just because I've had some conversations with some of the staff who are working on some of the technical part of the negotiations. The left really, 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 really doesn't want to cut spending. And they thought they could break the Republican conference. We only control the U.S. House by a handful of votes. And if they can break us, then what's the next issue? And what's the next issue? Because we only have one small lever, and that handful of votes is our margin in the U.S. House. We don't control the Senate. And obviously you see the chaos and the bureaucracy and the media and the White House. But there's a couple things we need to walk through because, first off, United States borrows about 30 cents out of every dollar. If you hear someone say default, they're making stuff up. Now, this is a horrible thing. You never, ever want to exceed your credit limit. It makes the United States look bad, makes us look like a clown show, everything else. But you have plenty of cash flow. There may be some timing effect problems, but you have plenty of cash flow to cover your interest costs. And when every time a bond comes due and it's reissued, that's within the cap. So for a lot of folks who say default, crashing the economy, they're making crap up. And if you don't believe me, look with the professionals. Go look at bond futures. The biggest thing moving bonds right now is that inflation actually ticked up last month. Core inflation ticked up.
That's right.
Meaning that all of a sudden there's another quarter point rise on the table at the next Fed meeting. That in financial markets is actually talked about more than the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling is for political theater.
Right. Okay. When Janet Yellen moves the date to... What is she saying now? June 5th.
The 5th.
Tell us what that means.
It basically means there's something called extraordinary measures. It basically means we're borrowing from all the trust funds, and they're running out of cash left in the different trust funds. Some of the timing effects are important, and we have this big chart on our wall in our office that sort of says, here's the historic dates tax receipts come in. And if you make it to the 14th of June, 15th of June, that's when the quarterlies come in. And June quarterlies are typically so large it would probably cover the differential for 30 days.
Okay.
So I think that's actually part of the theater. And I'm using the word theater because people aren't being completely honest. Can you imagine that in the way they talk to the media, the way the media talks to their the public? It's a big deal. Who's passed a debt ceiling hike? The House Republicans. 6 weeks ago, we passed a debt ceiling hike. The problem is the White House wants to keep spending, and we're asking to flatten spending. Remember, your government is destined to borrow another $21 trillion over the next decade. We're asking to roll off about $4 trillion of that. Mm-hmm. And then have work requirements for able-bodied
folks. Over a decade. $4 trillion over a decade.
Yeah. And we borrow $51,000 a second right now. We're heading towards borrowing in 9 years, $90,000 plus a second. But they know the public doesn't really understand the debt crisis that looms, that how interest is beginning to consume everything. Mm-hmm. So scare them to death with, you might be late on your Social Security check. Even though the Social Security Trust Fund still has cash in it, but you'd have to swap parts of that cash because the extraordinary measures have been borrowing it.
Right. You were recently on with Maria Bartiromo, and you were talking about the Social Security Trust Fund. And make that point that you made to her about how the triggering of a benefit cut.
Yeah. One of the things that should enrage every American, and this should, even if you're on the left, you maybe should be even more enraged. Congressional Budget Office in the end of February put out a report saying Social Security is – the trust fund is gone in 9 years. Meaning you get a 25% benefit cut on your Social Security check in 9 years.
Let's underscore that. A 25%
benefit cut in 9 years.
9 years.
Doubling senior poverty in America.
Right.
Doubling senior poverty.
Right.
That is immoral. You had a president that during his State of the Union got up and said, promise we're not going to talk about or touch Social Security.
Right.
And the room just looked horrified because there had been a working group very quietly. We'd spent real money with actuaries. There had been Democrats involved in this. A couple of the Democrat senators, oddly enough, had been absolutely honest workers, you know, participating in this deal. We had presented to the White House twice, or they had. We thought the president might get up and say, I don't like this, I don't like that, but it's an honorable thing to save Social Security. Instead, they decided it was a better campaign tactic than the morality of not doubling senior poverty in America. They cared more about using it for their campaign than saving it. And in D.C., you know, the press is so left. The politics are so about keeping the White House, putting the Democrats back in charge. They applaud this. Mm-hmm. And many of us who own calculators are just appalled at how dark, how immoral. And, you know, math, you know, I know often as Republicans we sound like accountants on steroids. Mm. But in the end of the day, these dollars actually have human lives at the other end of them.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a horrible thing if we don't get some adults willing to work on it.
I never know. Well, I have. Let me start this way. When we talk about reducing spending, the critical need to reduce spending, is it one of these things where it's literally cutting certain spending, or is it one of these things where it's slowing the growth?
We're beyond the slow the growth problem.
Okay.
If we had slowed the growth 10, 15 years ago, you'd still have growth of debt to GDP, but nothing like it is now.
Okay.
Understand, from today through 30 years, there's about $128 trillion of borrowing coming. 75% of that is the shortfall of Medicare. 25% is the shortfall if we choose to backfill.
Mm-hmm.
Congress says, screw it, we're just going to, and forget my language, we're going to reach into the general fund and fill up Social Security. The rest of the budget's flat. I mean, the discretionary has a positive balance. And it's really uncomfortable because people don't want to hear. But Americans earn their benefits. It's part of the social contract. You work so many quarters, you get Social Security. You pay in, you get Medicare. We just don't have the resources. So some of the most powerful things you can do is cut the price of health care. Change. You and I have had multiple conversations. Obesity, diabetes.
Yeah.
If you took those on and if you could cut them in half,
right,
which may be utopian, that's the single biggest thing you could do to bring debt and the size of the economy into balance. And it would be moral. But we don't talk that way because the terrifying thing is there's armies of lobbyists who actually don't want you to cut their spending.
That's right. I got to go to break. And I said, you want to stick around?
Sure.
You probably have the best exercised core of anyone in the state the way you're
holding
Matthew.
You should describe. I have an 11-month-old who is squirming like crazy and trying to eat the microphone.
You're managing it well. David Schweikert, and I'll be right back. If you're on hold, we'll get you in a little bit. Don't go away. And we'll be, what are we going to do? We're going to pacify these kids during the break, and then we'll pacify you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. David Schweikert and family, most of the family, they're wanting a sippy cup. Good catch, David. Good catch. That was Olympian. And his little boy, Matthew, 11-month-old, is just such a cheer.
It's
eyes.
A blast. Yeah.
What are you doing for Memorial Day, David?
We'll barbecue, and then we'll probably barbecue some more. Yeah. We'll go to a couple Memorial Day events. We'll visit a couple Legion halls.
Yeah.
And then we'll do some more barbecuing.
Yeah.
And then we'll get up really early and ride around little girl's newly repaired bicycle.
Good. Good. I was talking with some of the audience earlier. We're inviting them to, of course, call in, as some have been, you know, to any names and stories they want to tell us about people we are to remember. I was kind of lamenting that it seemed to me, at least from where I'm at and looking at things, that a little less has been made of it this year than in years past, that there's been kind of a weakening and a politicalizing of patriotism, and they probably go hand in hand. And I don't know, maybe that's too cynical a thing to say, but I think the way we have treated, you know, when patriotism means masks and when it means not standing for the national anthem, or when it means a second national anthem, which means you don't have a national anthem, it just seems to me the abuse of the word make America great again. It just seems to me we have been on this tear of attenuating patriotism.
Okay. Remember our theory. Everything's been weaponized.
Yeah.
And, you know, we often, when we say that, we mean, you know, the FBI, the ethics committees, the this, that. But it's society. It's culture. So if the word patriotism does not work for the left political class, they need to co-opt it. So they're going to co-opt it as their version of patriotism is opposing America or tearing apart its amazing history. And look, you're aware of that. I think so often we fall into the trap of wanting to actually debate it with them. Mm-hmm. They don't want to debate. Mm-hmm. The fact if we go their direction saying this isn't patriotism, they've won. Mm-hmm. Because we recognize their lunacy.
Mm. Boy, there's a lot. I mean, I've been on another tear I've been on. You're a devout Catholic. You've seen what they're doing over at the LA Dodgers. Michael Novak said the last respectable form of bigotry is anti-Christian bigotry.
Yeah.
That nunnery is a group of bigots is what they are.
Of course.
And the Dodgers, named after angels, I mean, things are a bit upside down, buddy.
Well, look, being Catholic, you're sort of used to inbound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of, you know, having to deal with being respectful to the faith. But once again, institutions must be destroyed. If your ultimate goal is government is basically everything to you, then you can't have faith. You can't have respect for whether it be everything from, you know, the Supreme Court to education, this, everything must be destroyed. So there's no competitor of faith, of trust, of, you know, if I came to you right now and said, tell me the institution in America that middle America truly believes in, what's left?
Some denominations, some, and maybe some talk radio, some, maybe NASCAR, some, maybe country music, some. That's the point I wanted to make. You know, we used to think some of these institutions were impervious to this invasion of progressivism, like the Department of Defense, for example, or maybe the NFL.
How about the FBI?
Or the FBI. We thought they would be impervious to this stuff. Instead, they're looking more and more like a Harvard sociology department every day.
And you
that's how strong they are.
So back to our original thesis. If everything's been weaponized, for the public to understand that don't get conned, don't get played. So often what you see in media is for your click, for your money, or just to continually pound you down to basically get you to tune out.
Yeah.
But we see this. How many good people now would be terrified to put a bumper sticker on their vehicle?
I know.
Or a yard sign in front of their house.
That's right.
And soon as they've...
Or a flag.
And soon as the left has been able to intimidate you that you're fearful to put a bumper sticker on, let's be honest, you've let the left win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was the plea Solzhenitsyn made, live not by lies. And the only way to not live by lies is to not accept them and to speak out against them. By the way, that's a great point about social media, David. Yet another study I'm looking at just came out on social media can put young people in danger. There is a youth mental health crisis, but there's an adult mental health crisis, too. And a lot of that is also driven by social media.
Yeah. Well, something is perverse in society when you go to a social media platform for reaffirmation of your life.
Yeah,
you don't do it at your church. You don't do it by going out and helping charity or just doing something good for your neighborhood. You go to social media for reaffirmation. We've lost our minds.
Well, yes. And that's kind of an interesting thing about people that want to get us to forget and move on from what happened during COVID, because COVID sent a lot of people there. COVID destroyed a lot of real social relationships and fed a lot of social media.
Oh, yeah. Oddly enough, and this is within the same circle, one of my fixations that America in many ways is dying. In 18 years, we have more deaths than births.
Right.
Half the states in America have more deaths today than births.
Right.
We now have 6 states that over 40% of the population is technically obese. And that spiking of those incredible health problems is when you trapped people at home.
That's right.
We will spend the next decade unwinding just the health issues.
I think you're right about that.
And it's those who – I don't want an apology – but I do think actually, particularly the health world, the arrogant world, needs to just admit saying it's okay to have a culture of, hey, we're telling you something today. We got new data tomorrow. Embrace it. Tell the truth.
I think in a way I do want an apology. And the reason I do is this notion that nobody knew is not true. A lot of us did know.
But
we were silenced.
Where I'm going with this is – I find the arrogant class, mm-hmm. people in particularly bureaucracies, mm-hmm. There's so often this arrogance of, well, I'm an expert.
Yeah.
I know this.
That's right.
The problem is if you meet true experts, they will tell you everything they know today in 72 hours could be different because data changed,
yes.
expertise changed, science changes.
Fragile.
And how often did the idiot class in front of you telling you what to do with your life, they would not – that they would not actually admit to you that, information changed.
David, I can't thank you enough for coming by. And,
no.
Memorial Day is in part
and
about
thank
families.
You for letting me bring
Well,
kids
thank you for
in.
Sharing your family with our audience.
It's one of the things. I'm gone so much. I got home late last night, so the kids are mine today.
Wonderful. Godspeed, sir.
Have a
meaningful holiday. All right, folks, I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. Your call's up next.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.